of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
It's time for Legally Served with Attorney Franz Borghardt.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I'll allow it.
An open and honest discussion about how the law applies to the headlines.
You not only insult me, but you insult the integrity of this court.
The defendant is not guilty.
The defense is wrong.
But somebody in this courtroom is.
I'm being charged with a crime.
A trial by court martial.
Is that what this is? I'm being charged with a crime?
Legally Served with Attorney Franz Borghardt.
Don't tell me what I know and don't know. I know the law.
All right, here we go. It is time for a little Legally Served. It's time to welcome in Attorney Franz Borghardt. What's happening, dude?
Good morning, fellas. To the listeners, to the viewers, Alondra Bryan. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Hump day, baby.
Yeah, got to enjoy it. Got
to
love it.
Lots to talk about. I'm letting you listen. I did not bring up the Trump trial.
No, I did. I did. It was meant to be a 90-second one-off for the beginning of
that
the show.
That was not our plan today.
Because it is national news.
Right.
I'm a local show, but it's also historic in nature, and I did not want it to not go mentioned. But at the same time, though, I wasn't going to eat up a bunch of airtime over something that all the national punditry, what are you going to get from me that you're not going to get from Fox or CNN tonight?
I think the only thing... Again, it's the Brian Haldane show, but the only thing I think that we...
was technically mornings with Brian Haldane.
Right. But one of the questions I get asked often is...
It's definitely not Brad the Builder.
Right. Brad the Builder? Who would want to watch that?
All right.
So, shout out to Brad Bourgeois. People ask me all the time, why is it that I can watch national court cases around the country, but not Louisiana? Not Louisiana courts.
Okay, but wait, be very, very careful when you say this. National, yes. Federal, no.
Well,
because federal court rules prohibit cameras in the courtroom.
Right.
But this is something that, A, we've never seen before. B, affects all of us.
Right.
If not tangibly, then emotionally, it affects everybody in some way, shape, or form. Donald Trump has become the most polarizing character in our nation's history.
I'd like to think I know a little bit about President Trump. And I'd like to think that out of all the people on the planet, President Trump would want this thing televised live.
Absolutely.
Real time. I would suspect you're going to see a motion at some point to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that there's not a, quote, miscarriage of justice. That being said, the bigger topic is, do you feel like, this is a local question, do you feel like when you watch the news media, not singling anybody out, when you watch the news media, are you getting an accurate portrayal of what happened in a courtroom?
Good question, because there is an answer to that. There are multiple answers to that question. It depends on whether or not you're talking about something that affects us in our backyard. The more local it is, the more I can know whether or not it's accurate.
Right. I have sat in a courtroom before on a case that's not mine, watching something high profile, and I'm sitting next to a reporter who's now retired, and he's posting on social media live in real time. And I looked at him and I said, whatever your name is, dude, are you in a different courtroom? That didn't just happen.
Right.
And he smiled and I said, no, really. There are nuances to what happened in a courtroom that sometimes the media doesn't get right. Sometimes the media reports stuff from a skewed angle. Look, I think I'm fair and balanced, but to be sure, I would acknowledge that on certain topics, I'm quite sure I'm biased.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not reporting media. I'm giving commentary, so there is a difference there. But my point is let it rip, man. Let there be a camera in there. What is the harm, with the exception of protecting the jury, because they didn't sign up, the jury didn't sign up to be made famous on social media.
Right.
They are mandated by the law to serve.
In fact, yeah, quite the opposite. More times than not, quite the opposite. Every once in a while, you'll have the juror that signs up to write a book later.
Right. Give them that. Here's your bone.
Right.
But point is, there are certain safeguards you'd have to set in. But look, and this is not a shameless, hey, I'm on court TV every week. I watch live court across the country. And I got to tell you, I'm not seeing the downside of it.
There are a couple of downsides, and we'll get into them in a little bit. We got a break coming up in less than a minute, though. We're asking the question this morning in our Legally Served segment with Attorney Franz Borghardt. should the Trump trial be televised from gavel to gavel? Federal court rules prohibit this, but I think we can all agree this one's a little bit different.
This will be litigated. I cannot imagine Donald Trump, President Trump, I cannot imagine him letting this trial happen without some kind of litigation to allow the American people to see the travesty that it is him being prosecuted.
Hang on. Why?
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he want the American people to see the way he's being railroaded?
In the off chance that he's not being railroaded and we're all being fed a line of you know what?
Right. He could be. I mean, that could be true. So generally, so here's the thing. And look, I got no dog in this hunt. I wasn't hired by the Trump legal team. This is
your pregame show for when you're asked about it on court TV.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. You're going to be asked about this on court TV.
So here's the thing. Just keep this in the back of your mind. Federal prosecutors generally don't bring cases unless they're really good. Doesn't mean that everybody accused of a crime in the federal system is guilty. And it doesn't mean that everybody in the federal system is convicted. But we ain't in a podink city court or state court in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So just keep in mind it's going to be a clash of the titans. Which I like. No, I like me some good old-fashioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no defense attorney that wouldn't want this case. There is no, I mean, because Donald Trump will have some pretty deep pockets to pay for this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't imagine the defense attorney doesn't want this as the resume builder.
Does this adversely affect his run for president? I don't think that being a convicted felon
is. No, because his run for president, his being convicted as a felon is the ultimate goal of the prosecution.
Right.
Because. Or the ultimate goal of the left, because it would disqualify him from holding office beyond that.
Right.
But no, this is one that on the defense side, someone is going to be a star. He's probably going to have somebody who's already a star,
right,
who just further strengthens their stardom. But and this goes for both sides too. For the prosecution side, you're getting somebody hungry.
So what I love about this is generally my elk, my criminal defense brethren and sisters, are generally not the sort of folks that President Trump would invite over to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We are generally not far right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are those of us that are right or middle right, but generally we're not far right. Now, there are those of us, too, that are freaking mercenaries.
Yeah.
Pay me and I'll dance.
Yes.
I'll be your private dancer.
Yes.
So, point is I'm interested to see who he hires, too, because... You know, it's kind of like a white supremacist having an African-American criminal defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That has happened before. We know that that's happened before. Now, I'm not saying that political affiliation is the same thing as racism. But point being is, I'm curious to see who the legal team is for President Trump. I'm curious to see how he funds it. I mean,
but these things you'll find out with or without cameras in the courtroom. Yeah. Cameras in the courtroom, I think.
I want to see him testify.
Should we?
I want to see him testify.
That unfettered access. And I ask it knowing full well, the entire nation does not have a law degree.
So generally the way we get around this is you can get a transcript of the entire trial, but you lose the nuances of I mean, it's paper.
Mm-hmm.
You're reading what happened.
Right.
They could theoretically release the recordings at some point after. But it's not real time, right?
Right.
Like in some of the court TV cases, you can watch real time a witness testifying.
Yes.
The questions being asked the witness, the answers. So I don't think you're going to get that. I don't think you're going to get that. I don't think that's going to be allowed. But, you know, this is, I will say this, Brian. Brian Haldane, I will say this. If there ever was an instance where you might have an argument for it should be allowed, it's this case. This is a case that from the perspective of, assuming Congress doesn't make a law that says, hey, when you prosecute a former president, it will be televised. This is a case that could supply the national public, United States citizenry, with a bolstered and renewed faith in our justice system by being able to watch it. I think this is an opportunity.
I don't know.
I think it's an opportunity.
No, but even with that opportunity, we're not going to sit down from wire to wire and watch this thing. We all still have our lives to lead, which means we're going to watch it selectively, which is part of the problem with televising.
Well, the other thing is, not to interrupt you, but the other thing is the three of us can watch a trial
and see three different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And especially if you're watching it selectively, which is where I was going with this, was you run the risk of all of America seeing the one part that they see and having that as their takeaway as if they've watched the entire thing. You run the risk of having, I watched 5 minutes of it, so now I believe this and I'm not going to move off my position for it. You can watch 5 minutes, it makes you entirely sympathetic to Trump. You can watch 5 minutes, it makes you want to put him under a jail. It's the idea of backing off of a preconceived notion.
Right. So let's all be intellectually honest. If you loved Trump before this, you're not going to change.
Right.
If you hated Trump before this, you're not going to change. It's not like the people that hate Trump are going to watch this trial and say, you know, they really are railroading him.
So, okay, but you allow for that opportunity, though. You forced someone to have to look at it through an unfiltered lens rather than, man, I'm still torn on this one, Franz. I don't have a take.
You didn't want
to. I don't have a take.
You didn't want to talk about this.
I know. And this is why.
And by the way,
it's like making the sausage. I have no clue right now.
By the way, we had some good topics, guys. Oh, we had some good topics. We got time for
no, the back end, the last, we have from 55 to the top of the hour, we'll talk about the rest, but, or from 52 to the top of the hour.
I think the historical, so here's the, we have a time in our history where people are more, all sarcasm on my part aside, all hyperbole. We have a historical time period right now where people are most interested in the voyeurism that is our justice system.
Yes.
They want to watch. They want to be involved in true crime. They want to solve the crime. They watch the documentaries. They do. This is the history point. The pin is right here where we want this. We have a former president that is being prosecuted on a national stage because in part, and people may disagree with me, and because in part he's running for president again. I don't think, whether you think that he committed a crime or not, I suspect if he wasn't running for president again, we wouldn't be doing having this conversation.
Me too.
And I'm not a Trump sympathizer.
There you go. So there's another part of this that we got to talk about as well, and that is the idea or the reality that an experiment that is being observed changes the nature of the experiment. Hear me out, all right? Congress acts differently when they know they're on C-SPAN than they do behind closed doors. You would see a different product because it's televised than you would if it weren't televised.
Okay.
If you are watching C-SPAN or C-SPAN 2, and you see these over-the-top fire and brimstone speeches, the things that divide us as a nation, the I'm pointing the finger at the other side of the aisle crap that we see all the time, it is because it's on television and it's because it's going to be seen by my base and it's going to drum up contributions and whatnot. I believe that televising this would change the nature of the trial itself.
Sure. That happens in every case.
Okay, but now we've gotten away from the original point of the trial.
Well, so it changes the nature of the trial, but to external things that have nothing to do with the trial. Will President Trump use this as an opportunity to raise money? We have to save President Trump. He's going to raise
1,000%.
He's going to raise tons of money as a result of this.
He's being fitted for orange suits to make it look more sympathetic, like he's in a prison jumper. Orange, he's being persecuted.
Orange on orange.
Yeah,
he's been known to wear orange on orange.
Well,
yeah,
well
so,
crafted.
So my point is there's always a systemic effect. I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right, we got more to cover. Let's attorney Franz Borkhardt in for Legally Served as part of Mornings with Brian Haldane. I thought we were done.
I think it's important.
Thought we were done with the Trump trial. I thought we were moving on, but there's more questions to come.
And I think it's important for the listeners and viewers who are just tuning in. We're not talking about whether or not he did or didn't do anything. We're talking
completely not talking about
we're
that.
We're talking about.
Thank you for resetting that.
Well, yeah. Well, I look, I think the, and I'm a geek on this topic. I think the topic that we were trying to talk about is, should trials be covered live stream, televised, whatever word you want to, I mean, it's live stream now. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really talking about. And in particular, should this trial, the prosecution of a former president who may or may not be running for president, should that be televised based on the nature of who he is? Right? O.J. Simpson was televised. It was a state prosecution of a criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you. There were portions of the O.J. Simpson trial that they brought a TV into the classroom for me, and I watched. The verdict? Yeah. I watched the verdict in the classroom.
Okay.
It was O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I mean, national...
I watched the verdict in Foster Cafe on LSU's campus.
Yeah, but it's not like a national... But I mean, if you think about it, that was not a nationally...
No, but, and this is a separate point, it was celebrity-based. It was celebrity-based, and this is what this is celebrity-based. This wouldn't be a question if he weren't political, if he weren't the president, the former leader of the free world.
Well, he was a celebrity, arguably a celebrity before being president.
Not even arguably. He was 100% a celebrity before he was president, but it changes the nature of the game. There ought to be some level of decorum when it comes to the institutions that have run this country since its foundation. There ought to be some level of no. This has to be applied differently because it's what's run this country.
So does he get treated differently because he's a former president, or does he get treated differently because he could be
a future president?
Future president.
Yeah,
good question. And if you think about this, there's been other presidents that could have been prosecuted for crimes that weren't historically.
Mm-hmm.
If you took 5 minutes to do a little bit of Googling, you could probably make a list.
So there's one more aspect of this, and I did want to get to at least one local story before we get you out of here. There's one more aspect of this. Let's say you put three cameras in the courtroom, okay? Obviously, you're pointing one at Trump, fixed on Trump the entire time, right?
One at the federal podium.
One at the podium where you would have judge and witness in frame. The third one would be available to go back and forth between prosecution and the gallery.
Okay.
And I think that is where I would put the kibosh on this whole thing. Because when I said an experiment that's witnessed changes the nature of the experiment, if you have the opportunity to have people in the audience, which there will be.
Right.
This will be max capacity the entire time.
Constitutional right to a trial.
Absolutely. Trial. Yes. So if the public is there and the public knows they're on TV, that will change the nature of reaction. And you would probably see more disruption if they know they're on TV. You would probably see people show up on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the coin here, either to make a point in favor of, a demonstration in favor of, or a demonstration against Donald Trump. You would see more people disrupting this trial to make a point about why hasn't Hunter Biden been prosecuted.
Well, you don't not have public trials because of disruption.
I know, but you also... That also was not written into anything based off of television.
So I can only tell you what I've observed. Likely what would happen is they would have a satellite room in the federal courthouse that would air for the public that are in the courthouse. Like, there'll be a spillover room, so to speak, because these galleries are not uber huge. The media will probably be the ones in the actual courtroom. I'm just telling you, this is what I've observed, because the media are least likely to
the media is a very vague term these days as well.
Well, right. But they're least likely to have the loud, outlandish outburst in the middle of court.
Yeah.
Right. Your CNN correspondent is not going to sit there and throw blood, cow blood on President Trump.
I understand that.
So this will be a topic I think we can talk about again.
And we will. Okay. And we will. We got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. There was a local story that I did want to touch on, and I'm grabbing this from WBRZ, Chris Nakamoto over WBRZ posting this one up. The caretaker of the husband of a prominent interior designer in Baton Rouge was indicted last week for exploitation of the infirmed.
Right.
Beth Claiborne Interiors sits at the corner of Perkins and Highland Road near I-10, offers opulence and luxury design services to the wealthy. Unbeknownst to Claiborne, 20 days before her husband's death, his caretaker, Melba Bro, named herself in his will.
Right.
How? First
she's
of all,
kind of a big, by the way, this woman, kind of.
Beth Claiborne?
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
Big deal.
You're not going to find her stuff in Brad the Builder's house.
No, but, he's getting there. But you are going to find her stuff anywhere, like, best of the best, right? Anybody who's in the supper club might be on the path to hiring Beth Claiborne.
Right.
She declined to do an on-camera interview with WBRZ, but said the will was drafted to benefit Bro while Garrett Claiborne was battling dementia. She said the caretaker had only been around for about 4 months when the will was changed.
Let me say this. As someone whose mother is suffering from severe dementia, mm-hmm. I got zero tolerance for this kind of BS.
100%.
And when you prey on the infirmed, and her felony charges are going to be something of that nature, right? Like you know, theft from the infirmed or whatever, or attempted. Caregivers should not, they can be, they should not be named in wills, especially of people that have dementia.
Yes.
That's just not, it's not a good thing.
Well, when there's family around too.
Right.
I mean, when you have family around who is perfectly capable, there is zero reason to make this switch. But my question is on the lines of recourse. How does this play out, and how do we get to where we can right this wrong?
So one, you can invalidate the will and say that he didn't have the capacity to write that. Number two, she gets prosecuted for what she did.
Which can be up to 10 years in prison, right. If I read the story right.
Right. And three, the legislature can look at this and say, hey, do we need to tighten up some laws on this? But they really don't, right? Mm-hmm. There's a civil recourse where the family can challenge, and then she gets prosecuted. Now, shame on a news affiliate. I'm going to throw this out there.
No.
If we have time.
We don't. We have 15 seconds.
No, never mind.
All right. The Nakamoto made a reference to another trial that I don't think is as unnecessary as Franz. Tell you what, we'll talk about that as we hit ABC News coming up at the top of the hour. ABC.